Would you introduce yourself, please?
So I'm Romy. I'm from the band Agenda. I am the guitarist and vocalist, and I play synths as well and write the songs.
One place you started playing, you know, an instrument at age 12, but then another one you started playing it at age 14. And then there was, you know, then you've been turning heads. I'm reading this because it's fun. Because you've been turning heads, according to this, since 2014, which is kind of The Exorcist, which is kind of cool that you can turn heads. But then you started as a trio, and then it became a quartet. But then you also have a queer dance night. But also then it's, the album has, you know, been taken 7 years. See where I'm going here? It's like.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking when you were reading all that, just how life is non-linear anyway. So, and I was getting tired. I was like, oh
this is
all
me.
All those things. It's like, just oh my God, this is me.
Like, oh my God, this is me.
It is. It's strange having someone, like other people look at the history of your life and repeat it back to you. And then, you know how, like, I feel like people don't acknowledge each other's feelings and stuff. So it's like, how are you feeling? Like, how did that feel as a child when you, you know, just like things, that's what comes to mind more than musical stuff, you know, but that's not why we're here. I just write from my point of view, my perspective, my experience. Like, I'm not the kind of songwriter who steps out of myself and is able to like tell a narrative story. Like, it's very immediate. It's cultural criticism, it's political, it's satirical. It's just like a collage of everything. My mind, I like to say, it's just like I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. It's just my point of view of my human experience. It's just like a mishmash of lots of different things, but it's from my perspective. I'm not so much able to step out of myself when I write.
Getting sober and working through it. So let's go backwards, because I do know that you somehow started doing what you do really young, like 14 or 15.
Yeah, 14.
Really young. So that usually means that you had an interesting childhood.
I did.
And that doesn't mean good or bad. That just means interesting.
Yeah. I think I was an interested child. In everything going, I was just always inquisitive, philosophical, trying to work things out on my own. You know, like I don't think I had parents that helped me figure things out or taught me a lot of just like I figured it out myself, and music was the way for me to. I mean, I always say as well, like it's pure catharsis, my music. Like when I re-listen to this record that we just made and released, and I'm like, wow, this is really me processing stuff. You know, it's like if I didn't have this, I don't know what I'd be like, because it's my therapy. I'm no longer in therapy for 2 years. I was my whole life. But it's really just me processing everything. And it just really is my medicine. I did have an interesting childhood.
Was it rock and roll? Was it what took you there?
Well, if you read about my history, there was a project I had called Macromantics.
Yes.
You know, I think about my career, and in a way, I think like it was at its best in 2006, 2007, 2008. And during that project of mine, and a lot like that was like a hip hop thing. I mean, I was given things on a silver platter. I was handed a record deal, a publishing deal. There was no Instagram, no Facebook yet. There were no, like, music blogs were becoming it. Like, I remember the Fader was really big then. And, you know, I had, like, a great publicist, everything. And it just, like, appeared. And things were different then, but I don't know, just like ego got in the way. I was partying a lot. I was on tour a lot. I just have no off button, like straight
all,
up.
All the toys were there for you to play with.
Yeah. And I just, like, I sometimes go, I don't know how that project or that incarnation of me ended. It just did. Like, it was like 3 years. It was amazing. And then my path veered. But I think it was like, if I stayed on that path, I really would have. I don't think I'd be here. Like, it was just heading in a very dark direction. Just like I couldn't stop. Like it was just 24/7 drugs, alcohol.
So what was the switch that flipped that you said, uh-oh, I want to live. I want to make it to the other side of this.
Yeah, well, I could feel my body just wasn't doing well. I could feel it. Spiritually, I was just like a skeleton. I mean, there was nothing. I just was like a ghost of a shell. I don't know. That's like the best way to put it. But I mean, I don't know. There's like a other force involved in that, you know, that wasn't purely just me. But yeah, I'd like lost a lot of what I'd gained. Like I lost a lot of really amazing things. Something was going to happen where a criminal record was involved, and I wanted to move to America, and I thought, like, oh no, if I get a criminal record, I won't be allowed to live here.
Right.
That scared me. I just remember going on a massive bender, and my body, I didn't know what day it was, and like the first thought, like I had to sit down, I couldn't walk. And I just, the first thought of like, there's got to be a day where I don't have to live like this anymore. That was like the first little thing. But then a series of events happened, call it a bottom or whatever. And I just was like, I just have to stop for a second and figure it out, because that's what I do, always figuring it out.
You're making punk music. You're not making the most easily digestible, funny stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for people to miss the level of satire in what you're doing. And yet I think you like that kind of danger.
I do. I think there's something about punk. It's like film in a way where it's a lot of different things in one. And it's just like the perfect vessel, just like the speed it's at. I thought vocally my range fits there. I make things because I have to. It's my medicine. It's like I need it to survive. And this is just the medium is punk, and the satire is just like in me. So it just all fuses.
So you wrote this pre-COVID. You made it during COVID.
Yeah. Again, memory. It's been the last 2 years. What?
Yeah. No
but
kidding.
It's like almost like I don't remember the whole thing, but it was pre and during COVID.
But it's a good sounding record.
It is.
So tell me about David Scott. What do you bring him? What do you walk in with? How far along is it?
It's the demos pretty much done. It's like the songs written. We just recraft a lot of the sounds I used. David has like a beautiful studio. Every sound on that record is analog vintage gear, or live, you know, drums, bass. But all the synthesizers used, and there's some drum machines, are all vintage. So he has that. We just have a love of music together. I bring him everything. It's kind of all written. You know, we don't like sit there writing or figure. It's just a lot of the songs, like, recrafting the sound using vintage gear, and then like other stuff, experimenting more, bringing in other sounds and things. I mean, he knows the reference and the sound. David likes to explain it as it's almost like a post-punk mixtape of things we loved from the late 70s, early 80s. So he was coming from it more from that angle. He's just like the overall sound, but we would make creative decisions together. But I had, everything was written pretty much in its finished state.
So you're doing this by intention, but how do you, you know, what is your belief that this music will stand out even though it is what it is?
I think I have a unique perspective. I think I'm saying something interesting. I think it's indicative of the time we live in. I'd like to think that, I don't know, in 50 years, if someone were to hear it, they'd be like, oh yeah, this is what was happening in the world in 2000 and what are we, 21?
But that's the thing, is it's about timelessness. So if I pick the most obvious song, if I play Never Say Never Now, it doesn't matter. It's the same.
Yeah, it's the vibe. It's
what it's about.
I don't know. I'm a historian. I'm a journalist in this sense. So I know some music, it's like, it's about the vibe and the mood and that. And yes, my music for sure. But beyond that, I do want it to be seen as like a documentary on the time we live in. But mixed with those other things, mixed with just pure mood. But yeah, again, like the existentialism, I think, is what's
so this timeless. So this is the part where I save you saying this, but then we go deep, which is you are an artist in the truest sense of the word. You do a drawing every day.
Everything. I do my drawing a day. The way my mind works is just making something out of nothing and art out of everything, really.
How forward to do what you want to do, do you have to push queer?
What exactly do you mean?
Well, again, I'm going back to the world. What's the first thing that's in the first three lines of anything about you?
I don't know. Is it that I'm queer? I don't know.
Yeah, it's there every time. She is a queer da-da-da-da-da-da-da who made blah, 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 blah. And does it matter?
I know, that's the thing, because it's important to me. Like, that is very much part of my identity, but I don't want, you know, I just know how the world works and you'll get pigeonholed and labeled and put in a box, so I don't want that to happen. Like, if I sit down, I'm like, I'm going to work on songs. If a punk song does not come to me, immediately I move on. It is some immediate thing that's happening. A chemical reaction, something happening between me and something else. And I do believe all that stuff. Like, I'm a conduit, medium for the message, whatever. It has to be immediate. So I never think about what am I going to make? It's just, it happens really fast.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside. And then I play music by other artists in between.